Thank you, Johanna. I apologize if I copied the wrong ones.
Fine.
Sorry. So the next step in the process, just for the board and the community, is that your superintendent administrative team will develop and has been working on action plans for the goals. The board will look over those goals, gets to review them and look at them. You will adopt the district goals, and most important piece for the board and the superintendent really moving forward are to establish dates for frequent progress reports on the district goals so that you're talking about what they are. You know, for parents and community members, understanding what the goals are, it says, this is our focus. Come along and help us achieve these goals, because it takes more than teachers and administrators and board members. You really do need to engage your parents, and here's what we're working on, and here's why it's important. And so that's an important piece, is to update. And we have the wonderful opportunity in these remote meetings to have a lot of parents who will become aware of what the board and the district goals are. And I think that that really does help them to understand what is going on in the schools on a daily basis, beyond what they may just talk to their children about, but to have a more global view of it, which I think is helpful. Okay. So in terms of board goals are around what your processes and procedures are, how you can be more effective in supporting the district goals. What kind of professional development does the board need to have? What did your board self-evaluation indicate? And so I had sent ahead to you, to Lana, and I know that Lana shared it with board members, a report on the board self-evaluation with some suggestions around things to do to improve your processes and procedures, and certainly making sure that your policy is in compliance with your practice is critically important. Annually reviewing your strategic plan and using it as a roadmap to help you move forward, and I know Johanna has done that. Developing goals, which we're working on tonight, is important. Communicating with your community on a regular basis is something that you've identified. And so I took the liberty of just putting together some suggested goals based on what I saw in your self-eval, and this in no way obligates the board to these, but I thought, you know, to continue to focus your professional development on equity, inclusion, and diversity so that you as a board understand what that's all about. It's not about having to be in the inner city, as Johanna said, but really to have a sense of what that looks like in your district, what are the kinds of issues that your folks are facing now that may be different than what once was, and that's important. Just based on, again, some of your comments and concerns, having a better understanding of the board's role in finance and budget development, and making sure that you know what that looks like, so you know what's an appropriate role. Also in the area of personnel, again, having a better understanding of that. Board member usage of social media. I was a little concerned that perhaps there are some areas of social media, you know, is a mixed bag. It can be a blessing, but it can also be less than that. And we certainly live in an age where we've seen it used for good and for negative purposes. So having you understand that as a board member, what you should and should not do, what you can and can't do in the area of social media is very important. I also think talking about how to have more effective meetings through teamwork and team building would be important. And this is a goal that you had last year, but I think it's a goal that every board should have every year, and that's to continue to focus on community engagement, working to expand partnerships with municipal officials and local businesses and their outreach. Because again, you know, the financial health of the state is not what it once was pre-COVID. Revenues are down. State aid is going to be challenging moving forward. You know, this year we got by, but I think next year is going to be more challenging in terms of the budget. And so these are the things that I would suggest might be most helpful to your board as you think about your professional development and aligning what you are doing the district goals. But I welcome your comments, and perhaps you have other ideas about what you would like to see as board goals. And this is just simply what I would suggest. So board members, if you wanna unmute and be heard.
May I just interrupt for a second?
Yes, I notated Ms. Emery has arrived, right?
Yes, 8:27.
Thank you so much.
No problem.
Mr. Kramer, did you get that?
Being late.
Mr. Kramer? I notated. All good. We'll continue.
Yes, I did get it. I couldn't figure out how to get to my name in order to unmute myself, but I just figured it out. Thank you.
Okay. Comments, suggestions, thoughts from board members?
One thing that sorry, my dog has a comment or suggestion. The one thing that we had spoken about in our ad hoc committee meeting yesterday was around the long range facilities plan, or I forget, that's the wrong name of it, but we have had continual discussions about sort of what our plan is with Spruce Run School and seeing better utilization of that facility, and discussed that it might be good to have an explicit goal around clarifying direction and developing an action plan there, and having that be something that is, you know, discussed more with the community. And I recognize that sort of falls in with finance as being a facilities issue, so it's closely related, but I thought maybe some focus on that particular one might be appropriate for this year based on that conversation that we had yesterday.
Well, again, you know, I think fundamentally understanding the board role versus the district role or administration's role. And so you do have a long range facility plan, and talking about either declining enrollment or expanding enrollment or what to do with your facilities should come to the board as a recommendation from your administration, because they have the overall perspective of the board. Now, once you have that, communicating that information to the community, I think is critically important, but I'm not sure that that qualifies as a board goal, because it's not really about your processes and procedures. If you want to talk more about, consolidation, regionalization, declining enrollment as a professional development informationally for the board, that could be part of the board's professional development, but it would not be to look at the declining enrollment or increasing enrollment and determine that recommendation. That you would depend on your educational professionals to come back to you with. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, no, I wasn't meaning that we would make some recommendation about the enrollment, but there, I guess leaving it as finance and personnel, but I think with that as a particular area of focus on sort of communicating what's happening in that area.
Here's Ron. What I heard the board saying last night, Mrs. Thornton, was evidently Spruce Run, there was redistricting, I want to say 3 years ago. And that's just one component on the vision for the district moving forward. It might be a facility, but the facility represents planning, which will have financial ramifications, hopefully in the plus, to support the district in its goals for academics and that total school environment.
Certainly.
You're on mute again.
Thank you. We can add facilities to that particular. Mm-hmm. So the board's role in finance, facilities, and personnel. We certainly can add that if that would work.
I think the board needs to develop their role in finance, facilities, and personnel.
Yeah, I was thinking that actually with all of these sub bullets on the first one, that it's really what we need to do, I think, is really figure out what is our role and what do we want to achieve on these four topics. And I would actually invert this to not say that the PD is the goal, but whatever professional development we need to do is to support goals around equity, inclusion, and diversity, and finance and personnel and so on.
Which is honestly why I selected those particular pieces, is because I think you do need to understand what your role is to better support the district's efforts in those areas, because I don't think that all of you have a shared basis of understanding of the board's role in those particular pieces.
Right, right. So maybe the goal is to understand our role
and that
word better. Yes. And the PD.
It is.
Can I make it more specific? Because I think that's a very vague goal, professional development. And can we have a goal that we all commit to attending an NJSBA training, whether it's the workshop or on a separate training that is related to at least one of these bullet items? Because that seems like then you have some accountability for the professional development. Mrs. Thornton, you're muted.
I hate
professional
this.
Development. I'm listening to you. These are not my goals. The professional development will be a component that you will all participate in, what I heard you say, to achieve. It will be your method to enable you to achieve your role in facilities, finance, and personnel.
Exactly.
That's what I heard, Dr. Brad. Did I get it?
That's exactly my point.
Okay.
Right. And that pulls in that Spruce Run piece, because Spruce Run has to be discussed.
And I would add, I think the board needs to commit as a full board to attending these together as a team.
Well,
if you can.
Would maybe a separate team building activity be more appropriate?
We certainly can do that, but what I'm suggesting is that perhaps on an ongoing basis, you would benefit from some of this work as a board, say an hour before a regular board meeting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think so. It can be hard to get all nine of us at one time to something, but I attended two different trainings this year with subsets of the board. So I think it was three of us that went to one, and it was maybe not, it wasn't the same three, but went to another one. But that way you learn. I felt it was more effective for learning, because you talk about what you want to learn on the way down in the car. I mean, I guess now we're not going to have those car rides, but those are great for like, we're going to learn this. And then on the way back, we learned X, we still have X questions, like, and also, you know, you learn more about what your relative strengths and opportunities are. I think maybe it might be too lofty to try to get everyone's schedules aligned to do the exact same thing at the same time. But maybe if we, you know, committed to doing it in groups of three or something, that might be more attainable. And we're all registered for a workshop. I was putting the things that I'm going to attend on my calendar today. So.
Oh, good.
You know, I think in terms of schedules.
May I ask you all a question?
Yes.
When did you develop the mission statement?
3 years ago, maybe.
Okay. This is something every district, you have a, your mission statement is so heartfelt. I don't do any presentation as your superintendent without reference to that mission statement. I have to live it and breathe it. We all have to understand what it looks like in the way we work. You're good people. I mean, I think you think I'm a good person. If you don't, I am. But you're good people. I think you should start talking about that mission statement and what it means to you as a member of a board or as a member of a leadership team or as a member of a teacher in the district. We all have to believe that, all of us. You know, I'm just throwing that out. And then I'm closing my camera, shutting up, and I'm listening only. Because I care about you. That's why I'm interrupting.
I would agree that I think we should, I completely agree with what Dr. Brasher was saying before, you know, that it, and what's been discussed here as far as professional development to get us to understand all of these. And I think we should all as board members be doing these trainings. Maybe since we're not able to have these car rides, maybe we can take advantage of us with these crazy schedules we have. If there's trainings that we're able to attend virtually at different hours or webinars that we're able to go to that are pre-recorded, but we can have questions answered or send questions in. But I think this should be the role of, you know, all of us to, we wanted to be in this position and we should go and get our own information, our own questions asked. So where they're not relying on other people's opinions, but we have other people's opinions we can then compare to our own.
So you want to, Catherine, can you repeat the language that you used? I'm sorry.
That was a while ago now.
See, I put you on this.
So I think the goal would be to focus on professional development for the board by attending NJSBA programming.
Okay.
That relates to these four bullet points. I hate to do this. Can I add another one that's not related to this?
Of course.
I think we need to review our bylaws because I think they're a mess and there are contradictions in them. And I don't think, you know, I think aside from that, we should all be more familiar with them. And so I think having a goal for this year of reviewing our bylaws in detail.
You're going to have to do that to comply with the CUSAC process. You're required to have to review your policy annually, which I'm not saying your entire policy manual needs to be revisited. And the board's responsibility under the governance DPR would be the board bylaws. And I believe that I even suggested that to make sure that the policies, including your bylaws that you have in place, are actually operable. Then you delete those policies that are antiquated, that where your practice is not following what it is that you have written in policy. And so, you know, especially in the area of board bylaws, it's important because that governs how you operate as a board. So I absolutely agree that might be an important goal for you to focus on. But again, that's up to the full board, but you're going to have to do it for CUSAC because you're going to have a full review anyway. So that really works out pretty well. To review and revise your bylaws. Other board members, thoughts?
I'm supportive of that. If it seems that it shouldn't, I'm even if we have to do it, I feel like there are things that if it's not, I mean, maybe the CUSAC process will be enough, but I think having it something that we're explicitly saying we're doing, I mean, I guess there's an external framework for accountability, but I would agree that that's a area where we could, it's going to help with sort of setting the right framework for achieving some of these other, like that is an enabler to effective meetings and teamwork, right? Like if we're all on the same page with the ground rules, that's going to be, that's going to be helpful to achieving yes. some of these other ones.
And I hope you didn't misunderstand. I wasn't saying the reason to do it is for compliance, but you need to have done it to be in compliance. So it sort of aligns very well with this CUSAC process this coming year to be working on it. That's all.
Have you ever had your own retreat?
We were supposed to do one last year, but it didn't happen. I mean, I think COVID happened.
Mm-hmm. Well, not tomorrow. I'd be more than happy to serve my board if you want to have a treat, not a treat, a retreat. It's been a long day. I think I can get you some treats too at the retreat.
Only from a distance, Johanna.
I know. I think Mrs. Thornton, she can attest to the fact that I've done board retreats.
Yes.
In another life. So if you should want one, I'd be more than happy. I would enjoy it to work with you collaboratively for you to do an agenda. But I will, if we do that, I will tell you the first item on the agenda is we will do group work on the mission statement. Not to change it. We're not changing it, but to talk about it and figure out what that means with the way we work. You know, like as a superintendent, this isn't about Roberto. This is about what Clinton. Roberto's in the car. She stays in the car, you know. So I'm available to you. And Mrs. Thornton, if you agree with that, if you feel it's appropriate, I am an interim.
I do think it would be a good idea.
I really like that idea.
Okay. All right. So that gives you three separate and distinct board goals at this point in time. To focus on professional development by attending NJSBA programs around equity, inclusion, diversity, the board's role in finance, facilities, and personnel, member usage of social media, effective meetings and teamwork. And actually, I'm going to assume you're going to continue the communications board goal because I think you need to do that. Yes. And then to review and revise the board bylaws. And four, to conduct a board retreat at an appropriate time, whenever that is, at your discretion. Does that work?
It works for me. Does anyone have any issues?
Concerns, questions?
I'm still not completely comfortable with the idea that one of our goals is to do coursework. It just seems...
You want the coursework to lead to something.
That would be more the way I've done goals in the past, is that that would be more like your action plan or what you need to do to support yourself in achieving specific goals related to those four sub-bullets. And it's hard to say. I'm having a difficult time formulating how I would invert it and say it the other way around because I'm not entirely clear myself what we as a board can do to enhance equity, inclusion, and diversity. But I sort of feel like that's where we should be going in terms of our goal, is to say what we want to achieve, and then getting trained on it would be one of our action plans for getting there.
So individual and collaborative professional development or professional learning, the board will further refine their knowledge base in support of maintenance of facilities, facilities planning, financial planning. I think that's what I hear you saying. You want to use the PD as the vehicle to improve your work that would influence those items within the district.
Right.
That's what I heard.
Right. That was my suggestion. It's more difficult to write a goal that way, but it's more powerful as well.
Okay. Well, I will work on wordsmithing it and sending it back to the board, and then you all can finalize it, if that helps. And I will use some of the language that Johanna did and work to invert it to make it a more powerful goal.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. No, it's a valid point. You all have to be comfortable. They're not my goals, they're your goals.
Yeah.
Right? So that's an important piece. So, is there anything additional, or any board members have any additional comments? Okay. And so the same as with district goals, typically you would write an action plan for those goals. Again, it helps to inform your public of where you are on those goals, what you have done as a board to work toward achieving those. Like, here's a copy of the revised bylaws that we've written, you know, would be an indication of the work that you've done on that particular goal. So, you know, reports to the, at a board meeting around whatever professional development that you may have done in order to, you know, refine your knowledge and skill in those areas would be helpful for the public to know. Having these kinds of goals reaffirms for the public your commitment to continuous improvement, to being effective board members, and your commitment to the students. So anything else additional before I let you do your full agenda meeting?
My only request is, could you send this to me so that we could attach it to the agenda website for anyone here listening to this?
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. It's been a pleasure, as always, to see all of you, even if only remotely and only briefly. I hope to see you next week at workshop at some point. Again, remotely, but it's nice to see you and be seen. And I thank you for the opportunity to come in and work with you on this. And if there's anything I can do in the meantime, don't hesitate to give me a call. Okay.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you.
All right.
Bye.
All right. You all have a good evening. Good night.
You too. Have a wonderful night.
All right. Bye.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
If you give me a date for your retreat, you know, we can start planning it. I think you'll enjoy it. Who's bringing the food? Oh, wait, the teachers had a virtual breakfast on Monday.
So, okay, that takes us now on to the report of the school business administrator, Mr. Kramer.
Good evening, everybody. I hope everybody's doing well. Before I get to the resolutions, I just want to indicate that yesterday the ad hoc committee met. The minutes are in draft. I hope to have them out tomorrow to the full board. So that's one thing. The other thing I want to note to the board members is the field work of the audit started Monday and will continue until they're done. It appears we'll have a draft sometime in maybe 3 weeks or so. And depending on, if you remember last year, and probably I think it was the year before, the audit got delayed because information from the state did not get delivered on time for the auditors to finish the report for all districts in New Jersey. And as of today, we still do not have the information that we're gonna need, but they're projecting sometime in November. But in the past, they project November and it might be later and it could delay the actual audit from being provided to the full board. When the time comes, we will have a presentation on the audit. With that, we have 11 resolutions. The first three, the support will go out tomorrow for those, the bill list, financials and the transfers. The last minutes that were pre-July, April 6th, is ready for the board to take action on. It's been disseminated and we received comments, made the adjustments, made the modifications. So if we get that approved on Monday, we're all caught up with pre-July 1 minutes. And we're staying current with our current minutes. So the September meetings will be on the agenda for your review and approval. The bond refinancing, we have a public hearing on Monday to do that. I wanted to like to explain that what this does, it allows us to, over the next year, to make a decision as to what we want to do. Once we get through the public hearing, the board at any time over the next year can decide on multiple scenarios to which to do a refinancing of our bonds. We can do one, we can do two, we could do none immediately. We could wait a year and decide to do none, or we could do one, or we can do both next year. So the public hearing, this resolution only gives the opportunity to make a decision at a later date as to which scenario we'd like to do. The HVAC upgrades at Patrick McGarren appears to have stalled sometime last year. A change order came through, but it never came to the board for their consideration. The inspector is not approving signing off on this project because they're asking for railings to be put up for safety reasons. So I do have a change order on a resolution where we could approve it. Once it's approved, I'll let the architect know on Tuesday and the work can get done. And then once it's completed, we are done with that project. There's another parent transportation contract for the board to consider. Use of the 1920 extraordinary aid. There's a resolution taking funds from the extraordinary aid and bringing it into this year's budget to help with some of the financial issues that we're facing in this year's budget. The negotiating committee is going to be interviewing firms tomorrow. Based upon the interview, the committee is going to make a recommendation to the full board to select a negotiator at the Monday meeting. And then I just finished the comprehensive maintenance plan today. That will be part of your handouts attachments for tomorrow for the board to approve. It's an annual plan that needs to be submitted to the state. With that, anybody have any questions? Okay, I thank
you. You have a question, Dr. Grantham? I think I thought I saw a hand.
Yeah, I have a question about these change orders and how common this is. It seems unfortunate that we could have gotten all the way to the stage of having an inspection and then having plans that didn't include safety guardrails seems like kind of unfortunate oversight and a relatively large adjustment in cost. Is this something that you've seen commonly, or are there ways that we could avoid this going forward?
What I can tell you is the architect said that the requirement from the edge to the HVAC system on the roof needs to be 10 feet. It's 9 feet, 11 inches and a half. Because of that half inch, it failed the inspection. I'm not sure, I can't tell you if it was a design issue where on the design it said to have it, did I say that right? It was supposed
10
to
be, feet. Yeah, it's supposed to be 10 feet from the edge, but it's not.
It was a half inch short.
Yeah.
And unfortunate, but the only way at this time for us to pass inspection we need to put this railing up that's being requested. I don't think that totally answers the question, but I don't know enough about the history as to how this was developed. Who reviewed?
I think Dr. Grantham wants to know, can there be, is there anything within the structure or checks and balances within our district that could have helped us maybe avoid this?
Yeah.
Well, the architect for the district should and again, I could be talking out of ignorance and I apologize, but the architect design should have had it so that it was at least 10 or more feet away from the edge. I don't know what the design really said. I don't know if it was the contractor didn't follow design. I understand that this had been discussed pre-July 1.
Oh, it was discussed, Mark.
I'm sorry?
I said you and I both know this is prior to us coming to district. It was discussed.
Yeah, but I'm not sure. See, I understood it.
We don't know the resolution of it, you know, but it was discussed.
I mean, I just, like, as a private homeowner who's dealt with our code office here and actually had stairs that failed inspection by, I think it was an eighth of an inch. It was a very small amount. But it makes a big difference if the plans said that it was going to be built 10 feet from the edge and then the contractor did not build it to spec, which was the case with our poor stairs, and the contractor had to fix them and there was not additional cost to us. If our plans said they were going to be 9.5 feet from the edge and we didn't catch that, then I could see why we're on the hook for an additional 30 grand, but I think
13. Yeah.
Doesn't it total 30 over the four of them? No. Okay. 13. Sorry, I misread it.
What I could do is reach out to the architect, get a specific reason how this happened, and I could share it with the board before Monday's meeting.
Yeah, I think that would be good to know. If we had plans that were off and like we got all the way through, that's on us. But like if we had somebody that we hired to build something 10 feet from the edge and they built it 9.5 feet from the edge, I think we should know that, because then maybe we could also keep that in mind on our future HVAC contracts and who we contract with.
I will get an email out to everybody.
Thank you.
And I would also add that may be the architect's responsibility if the plan's off, not just ours.
I have just another question, I guess, looking at the lawyer aspect of this and the legal teams that you guys will be interviewing. I'm not on the negotiations committee, so obviously won't be there for the interview. But I do have a relationship, it turns out, with one of these committees that's the finalist. So I don't know how that goes if they are the one chosen on Monday. And it's not an active relationship, but I've worked with one of these groups kind of extensively before.
I will find out the answer to that.
In regards to the documentation submitted by the law firms that was given to the committee, when will the board have copies of these so that we can see them as well? And what criteria have you guys used in order to make your recommendation?
One second. Well, a decision has not been made yet. We're interviewing tomorrow. We are meeting beforehand to go over the questions. We're narrowing it down by who has actually answered our RFP fully and not just thrown paperwork at us. I can see about, would you like everybody's RFP or would you like the finalist RFPs?
It would be great to see everybody's RFP and then what what you're looking to evaluate in your decision-making process.
Mr. Kramer, can you assist with that? Because you and the board had criteria. I read the proposal that was approved.
I could assist by sending out the proposals that we received from the 2, 4, 5 firms.
Right, but I thought we had on the agenda at one point the criteria the board wanted answered in the literature that was submitted.
I
believe she's talking about the questions that we submitted for the RFP. Yeah.
And that's what Mrs. Brennan was talking about with the firms that we selected to interview. The criteria for selecting them for an interview was that they actually responded to the RFP questions, as opposed to some of the responses which did not respond to the specific questions in the RFP, but just provided paperwork about their firm.
I think we can give a more formal set of criteria, though, because of course cost matters. And so there are things within the responses that are not just those questions.
And also I'd like to say that this is not anything, we are RFPing to simply be on a track to, we were out of compliance to a degree that we were not doing it as often as we should. So this is to get us onto that track. So it's not that there was an issue or problem, we simply wanted to show good stewardship of at least going out, seeing what's available, and having these interviews. So, but I will get that information.
And then when will we be able to see the full contract for the CTAA that we'll be voting on? I think it says we'll be voting on that potentially Monday night.
I will send that out. I just got it from Mr. Bausch. And I will forward that out. Okay. Yes, that will come out. I will do that after the meeting tonight. Any additional questions?
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Kramer. We will move on to personnel. We have 9 items for Monday. Does anyone have any questions? All right, and we have 1 item that we are voting on. It is action item 21P077. Can I have a motion?
Motion.
I'm looking for a second.
Second.
I think I heard. Okay, discussion? No questions? Okay. Mr. Kramer, can we please have a roll call vote?
Dr. Brasher?
Yes.
Ms. Brooks, Ms. Emery?
Yes.
Ms. Grant?
Yes.
Dr. Grantham?
Yes.
Mr. Hornick?
Yes.
Ms. Galtenbach?
Yes.
Dr. Riamaki?
Yes.
Ms. Brennan?
Yes.
Passes.
Thank you. Okay, we're gonna move on to policy. 2 items tonight, or 1 for Monday and 1 for tonight. Does anyone have any questions?
These policies, there's an addendum, I put in my week ending. That's why this is on here. Because I wanted legal review because of synchronous instruction and the different technological platforms. All right, and I believe the board got a corrected version because I sent you an incorrect, I sent the business office the incorrect version.
Okay. So Dr. Roberto, just since we didn't get like a red line copy, the only change would be changing director of technology to director of special services and then the addendum.
Yes, that's it. Nothing else.
Thank you.
And when you approved the policies and regs on MOS, and then we went remote, we pulled this because we were going to pilot, and we did our due diligence on this. We're going to pilot the app for Zoom limited so that we can minimize some of the issues with the technology. And that's why I had legal review. I want to make sure this policy is protecting our students, faculty and staff, and obviously the district. But that's all that changed on it.
Clarification. That I think I heard Director of Special Services.
Special Projects.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
I have one more quick question, Dr. Roberto, just
a
detail about it, and I apologize for not alerting you ahead of time. So the devices policy specifies that if a device is damaged, that the parents shall pay for it.
Yeah.
I'm wondering how that low-income families are impacted by that, if there's an accommodation that's not currently in the policy. And I'm assuming that we would accommodate.
Without question. But is that 2360 or is it the other one?
Yeah, I believe it's the other one.
One of them is one reading. Yeah, the addendum. That can easily be modified. That each case will be individualized based on the economics of the family.
Yeah, and I don't think it's in the addendum, so I think that's where it's been.
I can modify that without question. What page is that, please, Dr. Remaki? I don't have the policy in front. Oh, wait, I have my folder. Hold it, I have it. I have it. And that's on the device policy.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Dr. Roberto, what criteria will you use to determine whether someone can afford to have
lunch?
Okay, thank you.
I think that's the most fair way to go. And that's consistent data. But in our district, I think it would be, in these times, concerning what we're all dealing with. And I will tell you, some of our Chromebooks, the new ones haven't come in. So some of my kids have Chromebooks that, replacing them, we wouldn't even replace them. But I think that would be the best way.
Do you want to include that verbiage then in the policy to give you more?
I think the verbiage should be each situation will be treated on a case-by-case basis, you know, to determine. Thoughts? I think that's a good suggestion.
Thank you. It's on the second page, item 4.
Yeah, I found it here. Do you want it on a case-by-case basis? At the discretion of the superintendent. I don't like labels with children in terms of anything. So I think the best way, considering our district, will be a case-by-case basis by the superintendent.
I think that's reasonable.
Because the age of the Chromebook, and Brian's here, will denote what the value is. You know, and if it's am I good on that, Brian?
Yes, that would be correct.
Right. So it would be on a case-by-case basis dependent on the age of the Chromebook.
Is it as simple as just changing it rather than saying shall, the parent or student shall be responsible to reimburse and just say maybe responsible?
You could put shall or you could put assessment for reimbursement will be on, you know, on an individual student basis. Whatever you're the most comfortable with. Remember, this is your, you know, this is your district.
I like the discretion of the superintendent, because there may be people who have had their circumstances change recently, and while they may not have previously been on free and reduced lunch program, like, you never know what people are going through, and to have an option for them to make their case.
When I look at what's going on in the state right now, districts are even, well, obviously the free lunch, but districts are modifying kids who owe money for lunch, kids who owe money for, you know, books, you know, things are, I think the only way I could see it, I think Mrs. Graham, you know, brought up a good question, Dr. Iamaki, the discussion, but because free and reduced lunch applications weren't out this year, and they're offering a free lunch, that's going to be a constraint. So there's no constant. You know what I mean? There's no constant. And that's why I think it should or shall be the discretion of the superintendent on a case-by-case situation. Or we could give it to the director of special projects. That sounds even better.
I'm in agreement with the superintendent, case by case for superintendent.
Or we could give it to the BA.
Does anyone have any other concerns or would like different language?
Question, is the proposal to change the wording to that it shall be, what's the word, reimbursed at the...
It'll be the responsibility of the parent on an individual basis.
At the discretion of the superintendent.
Yeah, well, okay. That captures everything.
Yeah, no, I was just gonna say, leave it to imply that the expectation is that the responsibility is with the family.
Good.
But that there, I don't know how you'd wanna word it, but that there could be exceptions to be determined at the discretion of the superintendent.
Dr. Iamaki, come on, give it to us.
I think Dr. Brasher's suggestion is...
You, Dr. Brasher, give it to me again. I'm writing it.
I don't have it in front of me.
I do.
Leave it as it is, but just add that there could be exception, you know, with exceptions may be made at the discretion of the superintendent.
Good, I like that. And you'll get the revised copy on Friday. Is that good? Thank you. Are you all okay with that?
Yes.
So just to clarify, are we able to vote on that tonight? I feel comfortable understanding what that change was. But I'm wondering.
The change is, whatever my board is comfortable with, because the policy is still in place and the addendum was because of the synchronous platform, we may be extending the use of the app. And I have to make sure my kids, teachers, and everybody's protected. But so I can still do the timeline for supporting that shift because we're doing it incrementally. There was a meeting today. I don't know the outcome of it. I did get one email. I wish an administrator had told me something beforehand, but having said that, our district can still move forward because I want to keep the frustration level down with technology for everyone. So ever since September, we've been focused on this. So we can push the first reading to next week if you want, unless you're all comfortable.
I'm comfortable with it. The PR, this,
Let me throw, my experience is that if you were to pass the policy as written today, a minor modification could be approved without needing another first reading at Monday. So if we approve it the way it's written, and then when we share the policy tomorrow, if it's written the way that you're agreeing to, the second reading works with the minor modification.
I like Mr. Kramer's way.
Okay, so then if I understand, we're going to go into motion it for the
first reading tonight. Yes. I'll give you the revisions, and then you can do the second reading next Perfect. Week.
Okay, so I am looking for a motion on 21PR007.
Motion.
Dr. Grantham, thank you. Second? You got on mute.
Ms. Kaltenbach.
Second. You could read my lips, though.
The box doesn't move. I need the box. Discussion. We're all in agreement with the change, the language for editing for tomorrow, and then we will see it again on Monday.
I want to thank you for your support on that.
Okay, so I'm going to roll call vote, please.
Dr. Brasher?
Yes.
Ms. Brooke? Ms. Emery?
Yes.
Ms. Grant?
Yes.
Dr. Grantham?
Yes.
Mr. Hornick?
Yes.
Ms. Kaltenbach?
Yes.
Dr. Hiyamaki?
Yes.
Mrs. Brennan?
Yes.
Passes.
Thank you. We will move now on to curriculum. We have 6 items tonight. Are there any questions?
I don't think we talked about the district or superintendent goals, but I just wanted to compliment Dr. Roberto on them because I think they're excellent.
Do my action plans. Yeah, and now I'm sharing them with the administrative team. And our principals are pulling goals out of the district goals so that we're all in a line. It's good. It's the way it should be done. It's not a Roberto way, just the way it should be done. Thank you, though.
Okay, so I'm not hearing any questions about curriculum, so we'll move on. Old business. I'm going to bring up our virtual meetings. I think that as long as we are staying on the schedule that we currently have, the virtual Monday with the alternating days, I think we should not change our practice until we have a reason to change. So I think we should table it until our schedule changes to one that we can actually have a conversation about. Is there anyone, if this is a problem, or is this okay to move forward? Continue? Okay, so we're good on that. I guess it's kind of old business is the NJSBA conference, which we've talked about quite a lot tonight. Everyone should have received an email about login and sign in. If you did not receive one, please reach out. We want to make sure everyone is good. And even if you can't make it during the daytime or during the actual session, you will have access to all of the presentations, the recording, everything. So make sure that you go back, and I think a year to go back and look.
So Lana, I'm actually having some kind of issues. It's sending me in this loop about requesting passwords. I emailed their tech people and asked them for help, but I just wanted you to know that I got the email, but it's not working for me. But
okay, I made a note of that.
If we can help you in district, let us know if you need any help.
Oh, thank you. I think it's something on their end. Instead of sending me to creating an account, it's telling me to reset a password, and then it's giving me an invalid token. But so I think it's something on their end. Okay. But if they can help me resolve it, I'll reach out. Thank you.
Great. Great.
All right. Any other old business? Oh, I guess my other business would be old. I attended the NJSBA ethics, open public meetings. It had a whole title, and it was very enlightening. I felt like I got a lot of information out of it. So I really suggest attending some NJSBA stuff. And that meeting was also able to be held for a year. So I'm hopeful that that's going to be the new way that they go about, is even if you've gone to say, I would have loved to have our negotiations one that we had in January, ability to go back and relook at some of the stuff. I know we got the notebooks, but the actual meetings are helpful. So if you guys have any interest in any of them, like, I think that would be a good thing to go to in addition to conference. Okay. Hearing no more old business, new business.
The Hunterdon County School Board Association next meeting is tomorrow night at 6:30. It's a virtual meeting, so if people can go, you should register. Except for Mrs. Kaltenbach, who can't. Because of your password issues. I'm just kidding.
Oddly enough, I registered for that one, no problem. So, oh no, what's going on?
Go figure.
I am not hearing any other new business, so we're going to the second public comment section. If anyone in the audience would like to address the board, please click the participant button at the bottom of your screen. On the bottom right-hand side, there should be an option to raise hand. We will recognize you and unmute your microphone. If you could then please state your name and address. Each person will have up to 3 minutes. We will attempt to answer all questions once the speaker has finished. If there are any phone numbers showing at the time of public comment, we will unmute them to allow them the option to comment since they are unable to use the other feature. This comment section will be limited to 20 minutes. Do we have any phone numbers?
You have no phone numbers.
Okay.
I'm also not seeing any hands.
I am also not seeing any hands. I will give it 1 minute and then we will go on to our next. Okay. I'm gonna close the floor to public comment section. We're going to go into executive session. I think we might need a couple more minutes. Maybe can we set it for 30 minutes? Is that okay? Is that okay to change, Mr. Kramer?
Yes.
Okay. To be able to read the second or the first whereas and announce what we're going in for executive session.
Yes, you'd like me to do that?
Yes, please.
Okay. Excuse me. I can't swallow. Whereas, while the Senator Brian M. Baer Public Meeting Act requires all meetings of the Clinton Township Board of Education to be held in public, NJSA 10-412B sets forth 9 types of matters that may lawfully be discussed in executive session without the public being permitted to attend. And whereas the Clinton Township Board of Education has determined that the following issues are permitted by NJSA 10-4-12B to be discussed without public in attendance and shall be discussed during the executive session. Whereas the nature of the matters to be discussed, reviewed, or heard before the board details as specifically as possible without undermining the need for confidentiality pursuant to NJSA 18A 3713(2) shall include personnel matters. Whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 30 minutes, after which the meeting shall reconvene and proceed with business wherein action may be taken. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Clinton Township Board of Education will go into executive session for the above stated reasons. Be it further resolved that the board hereby declares that the discussions of the four aforementioned subject will be made public at such time as the reason for confidentiality no longer exists.
Looking for a motion?
Motion.
Looking for a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? The time is 9:29 p.m. Everyone, including Mr. Kramer and Dr. Roberto. Great.
And the recording is going, so you're good.
Thank you. Okay, so I am looking for a motion to reconvene public session.
Motion.
Okay, I'm looking for a second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? We are back in public session.
And who was the second?
It was Mrs. Kottenbach.
Thank you.
The time is 9:53 p.m. Okay, looking for a motion for adjournment?
Motion.
Dr. Grantham. Second?
Second.
Dr. Brasher, thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Thank you guys. Have a great evening.
Bye.
Bye.
Good night, everyone.
Night.
Good night.